item number three, which is the director's report. So I will pass the baton down to you, Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll run through a few things, and I want to reserve some time. Joe's going to walk through some revenue income status for us. First, I'm happy to say that we've delivered our deliverables under the proviso to the governor's office. So this is our zero-based budget, long-term funding plan, et cetera. Those documents were turned in this week. So that's a big milestone. Now we can focus on getting the money that we're going to ask the legislature for. Along those lines, and a lot of this is detailed in the report. I'm not going to read the report. I'm just going to touch on a few highlights. Been having a number of legislative meetings, probably a dozen or so legislators individually. We also presented to the House Appropriations Committee to start the ball rolling on our budget asks this year. I will touch briefly on the Wolf. We've talked about it a lot, just so you have an update of current status. Two PACs that are of concern right now. We also have another PAC that's also actively depredating. The Togo PAC is the one we removed the black adult on September 2nd. Have another confirmed depredation from that PAC. Right now we're in our evaluation period, and we'll actively be trapping to try to get a collar on a pup in that pack. So we've elected not to move to lethal removal at this time. We'll continue to push for non-lethal. The other pack you've already heard about, the pack that's occupying the old profanity territory, had six confirmed depredations, and gave the authorization for lethal removal on Wednesday, 1 to 2 wolves. We expect that operation will begin this weekend, pending the outcome of today's court session. It's concurrent with this discussion. Southern resident killer whale, thank you for the testimony. The task force is meeting again October 17th, starting to see draft recommendations coming up. So look forward to actually getting something a little more concrete that we can react to. And I think it will include recommendations along the lines of the testimony we just heard. On a happier note, I do want to mention that, happy for the individual, not so happy for us. Bruce Bodka, our longtime public relations director, is retiring. Today is his last day in the office. He will be sorely missed. He's been here 30-plus years. As these issues have really boiled up in the last month, I've really come to depend on him to get the word out, and I'm a little panicked at the thought of his departure. But congratulations to Bruce. He's been a real solid foundation for our agency for a long time. He will be sorely missed, but I hope he has a great time in his retirement. He said he'll be doing the same things he was before, but he'll have a fishing rod in his hand a lot more often. The other thing I will touch on is National Hunting and Fishing Day, September 22nd, if commissioners are interested in attending. It's a big event. We'll have a particular hunter education group there, support from a multitude of other sporting groups, opportunity to bring the kids into it. There will be shooting, fishing demonstrations. They can actually get hands-on with certified instructors, range masters, a good opportunity to really bring that next generation in that's so critical to us continuing to provide our services in the coming decades. So that is September 22nd, and it's in Moxie if folks are interested in attending. It's a Saturday. With that, I'm going to, if you have questions, I can answer those now, and then I'll turn it over to Joe
just
for revenue.
Just a quick question, Director. Is the recruitment for Bruce's position out yet? Or?
I don't think it's hit the street yet. It's done. It's basically done, but it goes out, I think, middle of next week.
Okay. If we have people we can refer.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have people, send them our way. We are looking, I'm really going to miss Bruce. We also have an opportunity. We need to invest more in that side of our business, I believe, as we've talked about before. So we're really looking for a good candidate. I'm interested in getting this one right. So we're going to take the time it takes, because we just have to have a good person in there.
Thank you.
Joe.
Yeah, good morning, Commissioners. And thanks, Director. I wanted to just touch on the first fiscal year and the revenue that we received through license sales. And you've seen this report before, but let me orient you a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about hunting revenue, fishing revenue, and then a general category of other. And you see those summarized in the top left-hand side of the report. And then we have a comparison for those three areas of revenue generation in the bar graphs for the last seven years. So you can see how we compare this year to the last six. If you go down then below the all revenue source summary into it's kind of an orangish tan color, and take a look at our hunting revenue that was generated last fiscal year. And again, that's June of 15 through July of 17. You can see that we held pretty steady. Big game was down a little bit if you compare it to FY17, but if you look at the column labeled average, those are averages of the last 5 years. You can see that we're a little bit down on big game, and a little bit down compared to FY17 on the auctions and raffles. Overall, in the hunting sales area, about a quarter of a million down in fiscal year 18 versus fiscal year 17. You move to the light blue on the bottom, and you can see fishing license sales. Again, year-by-year comparison, and then the five-year average. And we did pretty well. Overall, our fishing revenue was up almost $900,000. Led primarily by an increase that we saw in the combination license sales. So that's good, and I think that's a result of some packaging and other things we did with the combination licenses to promote those. You roll the page over, and in the light green on the top of the page, this is a catch-all, our other revenue source category, and you can see the commercial dollars that we received were slightly down, about 8% compared to fiscal year 18. Discover Pass, we keep every year. Discover Pass gets a little bit better in terms of generating dollars for us and parks and for the Department of Natural Resources. And you can see some of the other categories there. So overall, our other revenue sources did pretty well this last year.
Uh-huh. On the Discovery Pass, now, because you'd mentioned the parks and DNR, so now do you take a percent and DNR takes a percent, or how's that work?
Yeah, for Discover Pass sales, the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Department of Natural Resources each get 8% of the total revenue that's generated, and parks gets the balance. So parks gets the largest percentage, and that had to do with, at the time of pulling the idea together, the concept together into legislation, there was an assessment of the dollar general fund shortage that each agency was dealing with in terms of maintenance. And I don't know if you remember, but in the 09-10 biennium, the Department of Parks, right in the middle of the recession, the Department of Parks had about 60-plus million, if memory serves, removed from their budget, in the governor's budget. So there was this immediate emergency, and frankly, I think the plight that Parks was in really drove the Discover Pass through the legislative session. So now there's a lot of discussion around, you know, is 8% still the right percentage? But that's the way it's split right now.
And this may be getting into the weeds a little too deep, but now I get a Discovery Pass when I buy a hunting license. Is that already built into it, or how does that work?
If you buy a hunting or fishing license, you still receive the Vehicle Access Pass,
okay,
which allows you access to Department of Fish and Wildlife facilities,
okay,
while the Discover Pass allows you access to DNR and parks.
Those are separate.
Yeah.
Those are separate.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I have a question.
Commissioner Thornburg?
back to hunting and the auctions, raffles. It appears that FY17 was considerably higher than the average. I don't know what over what period the averages were taken, but was there a special raffle or something that kicked that up that year? Was that a unique year, perhaps?
I don't.
And so maybe we don't have quite the drop in hunting revenue as it shows.
Yeah, I'm not certain. Maybe I could ask Peter to back me up here a little bit. Peter was our licensing division manager, Peter Verney. Mm-hmm. And he's now our acting HR director.
Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Commissioners. So by rule, we are only allowed 13 raffles. And so part or auction items off raffle tickets, it depends on, you know, participation. And so we've had a person in around the Randall area who had been very active in the past. He was around the Bullwinkle elk issue a few years ago. And so it just depends on, you know, how much. He was a very big contributor to the raffle ticket piece of it in the excesses of over $250,000 a year. Uh-huh. Did he? We've actually found another person that's been active, but not at that level.
Okay.
In the TWSP area,
yeah,
but it depends.
Just a question. You said by rule we're limited by 13 to 13. What rule is it, and why 13?
I don't know the exact rule, Commissioner. Sorry, I can get it for you, but there's 13 auction items that we can do. I can ask Eric. Probably has a better handle of that than I do in the wildlife program. But that's what I've been told, is that there's only 13 auction, you know, whether it's a mountain goat or a moose raffle or a southwest elk.
Oh, so it's limited by critter.
The auctions, but the raffle tickets, there's certain ones that we can do, and then it's like how many people want to purchase, right? And we've done some campaigns in the marketing department to get the word out that the winners aren't always the people who buy the most. We've had people who have bought one and two raffle tickets who have won. So we've put that out there, tried to communicate that out.
Thank you, Peter.
Yep.
Well, just one other, if we went to, like, Idaho, how would their raffle be a lot bigger? Raffles be more or similar? Or?
The one state that I've looked at is Oregon. And Oregon has a way larger percentage of raffle ticket sales, but they're allowed to do it on the internet. Our AGs do not allow us because it's gambling, and it comes into the gambling commission. Allow us to be on the internet.
Gambling in Washington?
Yeah, gotcha.
Part of that depends upon, like in Idaho, they have a sheep tag every year, and depends on which end of the state it is. If it's in Hell's Canyon, I mean, it's...
Yeah, you're getting right to what I...
A ton of money.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Yeah.
You're getting to what I... Yep. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, on the page 2, the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little bit of stuff cut off at the bottom. Could you say what those are, and does that represent, it looks like WDFW transaction fees that are in excess of $2 million. Is that income to the department?
Yes, we collect transaction fees on every license sale, and the blue represents the revenue that's collected by the agency. The red, sorry, that's cut off. The red represents vendor transaction fee, and the green is the dealer or dealer fees. So it just gives you a sense of the additional dollars on top of the license cost itself that go to either the dealer, the vendor, or the agency.
So I have a question then. So the vendor being our computer folks. So we got a good deal when we switched then.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Back in 2016, when we signed the new contract and the new system was put in place in December, with JMT, who's our new vendor, one of the things that we had gotten is they were willing to only in their bidding, they were taking 3.9% of the 10% transaction fee that we charge in all transactions. So
In the past, we were paying our previous vendor 4.95%.
Great.
So we picked up a full percentage yeah. point, which equates to about what we're looking at, about $500,000 brought into the agency, as opposed to where it goes to where we were sharing.
Good deal.
So you can see that was a big improvement in terms of yeah. the new Wild system and the new yeah. vendor.
And the another litigation with the old vendor, all that's done?
All of that's closed and we've settled,
okay.
yes.
Okay.
The other piece of this that I think is interesting is in the lower right-hand side of the second page, the year-to-date hunting and fishing customers. Now, we have the ability to identify unique customers who maybe purchase multiple licenses, so we aren't counting the number of licensed products, but we're counting the individuals themselves. And you can see over the last 7 years that the unique customers buying fishing licenses, those are the numbers across the top, the 731,000 back in fiscal year 12 to the current 678,000. So we had a slight decline there if you look across the years, actually up a little bit from last year, but in general, on the average, down a little. The smaller light green bars, those are the same types of customers except for hunting, going from 180,000 in fiscal year 12 to about 174,000 this past year. Again, that hunting customer decline we've seen for pretty steadily now for a number of years, and most Western states are seeing something like that too. And then the line that goes across, Peter and I were talking about this. I'm not sure how helpful that is, but that has to do with unique customers that are purchasing the temporary licenses. Mm. So the temporaries versus the annual fishing licenses.
And excuse me, Joe, is that saltwater, freshwater, say, Conger or buoy 10?
I believe it's all the above.
Okay.
So I think you always are interested in this, and I'll come back in 6 months and update you again, but that was our first fiscal year of this biennium.
Yeah, and I think you were there at the WAFLA meeting when the AFLA people were talking about 70 being the when people hit 70, it drops off dramatically. Have we started to monitor that at all? Because we got to be getting pretty close to that.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a presentation for Kelly here shortly about the ever-changing customer and the demographics. I think we brought that to the commission maybe 3 months ago, and you definitely do see fishing because of the age. You know, you go from a resident to a senior in the fishing category. Our 70 numbers look good. Our 71, 72 numbers look on trend with the nation. Hunting, we definitely do see a drop-off when we get into the 70-year-old.
Yeah, the presentation at WAFLA, that was not just a drop-off, it was a cliff fall.
A lot of the agencies are experiencing, and that's why R3, R4 has taken on such a prevalence for folks and have become, a lot of agencies are investing quite a bit in that because they know that the large baby boomer population is going to age out of hunting and fishing, not because they don't want to hunt and fish, but because it's physically demanding and challenging for them to do that.
Which even stresses more the importance of our ADA committee, too.
Yeah. Well, and R3, R4, turkeys in eastern Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Another factor when you look at revenue, too, Peter, is, I don't know if this is correct, it's just a comment or a question, but many states like ours, at age 70, you get the senior license, and so you're not paying full price for your license anymore.
That's why we see a little peak up at fishing,
mm-hmm.
because we go from having you pay a $55 combination license down to $11.35 out the door for 70 and older in fishing. So we see a little peak, but I think it also comes down to, you know, availability and if they can get out and go do it later on. So
right, so it's a combination of,
and as Joe mentioned, you know, we're the the combination increase that you saw in fishing is really around the Fish Washington package. Mm-hmm. It includes the combination license, a Puget Sound crab endorsement, two-pole endorsement, and the Columbia River salmon steelhead stamp all in one package with about a 9% decrease, you know, 9% savings bought separately. And we have seen that is exploding.
Okay.
It's over 30,000 purchased this year, and it's been hugely successful. So packages look to be a real good methodology for us to go out. It's what our customers are asking for.
Yeah, and I think you've been very creative, Peter, in your licensing division and marketing, coming up with new ideas and creative ways to offer license packages. And I know there's been some talk about maybe offering a family pass, maybe one time for a weekend, so a family of four or five could buy a very reduced rate so they can just try the experience. And I'm not sure if that's been introduced or you're considering it.
So we've been talking about it quite a bit. The biggest thing that we kind of bump up against mm-hmm. is how to define a family. Is it two adults and three children?
Sure.
Is it adult with four, you know?
Yeah.
How do you define that mix? And how do you define, do you have to have parental responsibility of the child? Or, is it a stepchild? There's just a lot of kind of variables that we can't seem to really define that. But we've been working on it. The Discover Pass has some wording in there. Our fishing licenses have had wording in that, in the WACs and RCWs that we have. So yeah. We've been looking at it. We just haven't hit on the right.
Yeah, I understand that dilemma. I was thinking about that myself. Maybe you just need to offer the six-pack for the weekend or something like that.
Yeah. Six
back
in every
couple of
weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
That's it. And you're done, Kel?
Wait a second, Bradley.
Yeah.
Needless to say, you had a lot of staff help you put this together, but as Mr. McIsaac refers to the front table, it makes it really nice for those sitting up here.
Of all the things that we get handed out over the year, this one goes home and stays, and I reference it on a pretty regular basis. It's pretty handy. A lot of good factoids in there, and thank you for doing that and giving it to us.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner. It's the Peter and the licensing staff are great at this stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Two things. One, there's been a little bit of controversy on the Columbia River with regard to the closure that happened recently, and I even heard there may be some folks that want to testify to that. But I wanted to compliment the director, the department's leadership, and the Fish Division staff folks. That's what we really expect of the professional staff, is to watch the runs. If the runs are poorer than expected, to react and close fisheries. If the runs are bigger than expected and fisheries can be liberalized, that would be fine too. And keeping the conservation goals in mind as the target is exactly what we're after. And a general compliment to you and the leadership 1 month into it, from my perspective anyway, I think you all are doing a very good job. 1 month can be a fire test. Your first month may be more of a fire test than usual. But anyway, just generally compliments.